The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
It's been a while since it's just been you and me.
It has. Apologies that Mo, the captain of charisma or whatever the charisma that he has charisma. We have no doubt about that. And our two-time G1 winner, Mo isn't on the pod. He has kind of the same thing I had a few weeks ago with his voice gone, but Joel and I are here to serve the One Fall community on one of the most important podcasts in wrestling history.
We're at a point now where this is massive. Like the story that we're going to talk about is vastly important, and it's going to set up what will be probably the wildest year in pro wrestling in 2020.
Absolutely. 2020 is going to be nuts. It was 2001 when the Monday Night War ended, and then I remember on New Year's, I think it was in 2009 or 2010, around then, Hogan went on to a UFC show on Spike and said, TNA's coming after Monday Night Raw, brother. And they lasted, what, five shows, Joel, I believe, before they went back to Thursdays with the tail tucked in between their legs?
I think so. It didn't last long.
No. And then again on New Year's this year, one of the more memorable times we'll remember professional wrestling, BT announces that AEW is a thing on New Year's Day. Fast forward all the way to August, and this little developmental territory that started with Titus O'Neil falling, carrying a keg, and people doing tire jumps and battle wraps, and then turned into, outside of Japan, the hottest wrestling promotion in the world, is now going to primetime television, a station that averages up to 90 million viewers and 90 million households, is what it holds up to in the United States. And it will be going live. NXT will be moving to Wednesday nights, going 2 hours live to go head-to-head with AEW, and we have the Hump Day rivalry.
This is big. I mean, obviously we've been following NXT basically since that first few takeovers and following that buzz that it had. I remember reading the dirt sheets for the first one that they had, and it was like, oh, this sounds really exciting. Wish I had the network. And then when I finally got the network, being able to watch these takeovers and just seeing the growth and progression for some of these guys' careers. Like, you got to see the emergence of Finn Balor before he died on the main roster. You got to see the emergence of Bayley before she died on the main roster. You got to see Enzo and Cass have a nice run in NXT. Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura. All these guys rise through NXT. Like, there's countless NXT matches that are like, that's the match of the year. There's another tag team. It's wild to see how far they've come, and this is they have earned this, but I don't agree with how this came about, because ultimately this is a knee-jerk reaction from a company that called their rivals a pissant company. And yet somehow they've got to throw their weight around and put a rival show on live to combat it, even though they're not competition and they're just blood and guts. It's a shame that NXT is put in this spot, because it's a great product. And thankfully for us Canadians, we don't have to worry about picking. We can watch AEW on Wednesday and then just avoid spoilers and watch NXT on Thursday on the network.
So, yeah, we should be clear. We don't really in Canada have an answer yet on AEW, but it's seeming more and more that it'll be on demand on Bleacher afterwards, but still not confirmed yet.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful. Regardless, I'm going to find a way to watch AEW because I want to support
it. If not, there's other ways to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not the ways we want to go, but sometimes you're not left with a choice.
And you want to consume that content that is important. There's a lot of things said at the start right now with NXT. They've said that takeovers will remain the same, the wrestling's going to stay the same, and Hunter's in charge. How long does all of those promises last? Because wrestling promises don't last. How long
before
Vince gets his grasp on NXT?
So here's the thing. Vince McMahon has meetings in Stanford on Tuesdays and on Thursdays. Not saying that it wouldn't make him fly to Full Sail, but, you know, with everything the XFL has as well, it's going to be interesting with his hands full. I mean, we're recording this later on a Tuesday. The XFL will be announcing the team names and the logos tomorrow. So that's a big layout for the XFL tomorrow. We will see how prominent. I mean, Oliver Luck still has been the face of the XFL, really. You have not seen Vince since then, but I do wonder with how much the XFL is and, you know, when he has these production meetings that he has in Stanford, what that means. All in all, the one thing that we have to know, though, is that WWE has been on the USA, aside from that little absence when they went to TNN, for about 20-plus years. It has a relationship with everyone there. You pointed out to me they've had stuff in the past, like the 24/7 title, that, you know, has been enjoyable, but they've asked for that stuff. And you've got to wonder what, number one, is USA looking for as a rating on the station. They're bumping arguably their most popular show in Suits.
That
they're
is replacing ending this that.
Year. It is ending, but it was their most popular show. I think NXT will probably, I mean, so what, like, TNT has came out and said, like, for AEW, they're fine with, like, 1.5 million. I actually do think AEW will do higher than that, but they're completely fine with 1.5 million viewers. They have nothing but, you know, positive energy towards everything with AEW. For NXT, though, with a station that's losing SmackDown that averages about 2 million people, do we have to assume that USA is expecting to get at least 2 million people? And is that fair enough put on to NXT?
It's not. Well, I mean, this is arguably the brand that has the most buzz, the most goodwill, and more or less consistently spitting out a good product for WWE. So, with that said, you mean the first 6 months or that growing phase, 6 months to a year, is really establishing? Because everyone consumed it through the network, so you were getting the hardcore wrestling fans. So to get the what we consider casual wrestling fans is going to be interesting, because it's one of those things that you have to build towards to get. You have to build a foundation. You have to build a foundation with USA. But historically, WWE does not have the patience, and I don't think USA has the patience for it to grow there. I think the expectation is this is going to go head-to-head, and this is going to mop the floor with AEW. I think that's really the expectation heading into this. And if AEW is somehow able to win, like, say, 4 weeks in a row, they just constantly win, it's going to be interesting, because then that's when they're going to be like, well, we want Kevin Dunn, or we want the tried-and-true crew. We don't want this crew that's not cutting it. Because a lot of, I think Dave Meltzer has said it, and you can see it, NXT in a lot of ways is a more polished PWG. That's what it feels like. It has that feel. It let guys have those type of matches in NXT. They have to wrestle the WWE style, so it's not quite PWG style matches, but they're kind of a mesh between a PWG and a WWE style, and it's worked, and fans haven't complained. A lot of the guys have toned down some of the things that they do, but at the same token, that's not totally watered down product. So it's going to be interesting to see, because, I mean, one of the things that we were going to talk about on this podcast and I'll bring up now is I feel like two guys in WWE have really gotten over recently based on their wrestling. And one of those is Roman Reigns, and one of those is Buddy Murphy. I think we've seen where quality wrestling has generated a genuine buzz among the crowd and generated a response. Like, Buddy won the crowd over. That doesn't hurt that you have Daniel Bryan as your dance partner. And same with the match with Roman. I think both of those serve very well to getting Buddy over. So wrestling can win a crowd over and garner that attention, but you have to take the time and let wrestling breathe. I don't know. They deserve this, but I wish this was more of a USA wanting them, not the other way around, where WWE wants to find a home for NXT. Because if I gave you, just as an example, if I gave you a cookie and it was a subpar cookie, you're going to be like, I don't want this cookie anymore. But if you made those cookies and you bit into the cookies and you want to continue to grow your baking of cookie skills, then you would give it time to grow and learn and find a way to make that really good cookie. If I just gave you a cookie, the likelihood of you chucking it and throwing it away is among the high probability. It's the same with this, where if the USA is not happy, I wonder what they do. I guarantee you things will be okay, but there is that question of how does this relationship work with USA? And like you brought up, USA has asked for the 24/7 title, asked for the Raw reunion. What questions are they going to ask for NXT? Are they going to ask for that wild card rule to bring Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman? Are they going to be like, none of these guys are big enough stars to headline this show, we need other guys? And then does that impact the product? Because if suddenly you've got Roman Reigns showing up feuding with Adam Cole, Adam Cole can't hypothetically win that match because NXT will still be perceived more or less as developmental. So the mindset will be as, well, Roman should lose this. As an example,
That was one of my questions for you, is now we have to wonder, is NXT, number one, is it the developmental territory, or is it just the third brand? And do guys technically even get called up anymore? I don't think they do. I think this is a call-up for everybody.
Yeah, this essentially is a call-up for everybody. This is, I think I've said this to you off-air, but I'll say this on-air. I think NXT is your second most important brand. Fox is number one. SmackDown is your number one because of being on Fox. And just the opportunity and just everything that can go with being on Fox could create for your company and your product. NXT is number two. And Raw is the tried and true. It's number three, but it kind of feels like it'll be there, but it's not. It doesn't have any. It's on a steady network that's not going to get rid of it. The USA is clearly invested in Monday Night Raw, whereas Fox, you need to keep them happy. You need to spit out a good product and keep them content. So you got to put a lot of care into that. NXT is going against this. This is the Wednesday Night Wars, so you're going to have to make sure that this is a good product. And I wonder what the relationship's going to be between Vince, Hunter, Sean, Jeremy Borash, Joseph Parks, Randall. Everyone that has been involved in NXT, William Regal, there's going to be this creation of, do we let them continue with what they're doing, or do they have to become more like Monday Night Raw and SmackDown? And if that's the case, then the luster and the glow that NXT has fades. And that's all I've got on that.
No, yeah, for sure. the thing with this is, like, there's so many questions, and that's why we're kind of here on this pod, to kind of break them all down, right? There's so many different questions. Like I said, the call-up question is there. I'm assuming, we're just going to assume everyone's called up. The next question is going to be is, so Evolve has two shows this week. Neither is there in the network. One of their biggest stars, Austin Theory, is now in the PC. The question is Evolve going to be the second brand? And if, I mean, the developmental brand, and if not, is the developmental brand just the PC now? And maybe doing mini tours outside of the PC? That's the next question.
See, and that's a big thing. I think that's a mistake, because I don't think, because now, again, NXT goes from, you can screw up, you can take your, look at how long it took Patrick Clark to find the Velveteen Dream. To find that gimmick.
Finn, look at someone like Prince Devitt that came from Japan and said, like, I thought I was ready, but I wasn't. I didn't know where hard cameras were. I didn't know where this and this was. So even, you know, someone like a Chelsea Green that's been an Impact and had a really good character. She's even kind of credited the PC for telling her different things. And she hasn't even really been on TV. But you've seen those characters in the past that have gone on in B segment and had an opportunity to make their to see what works. Like you pointed out, Patrick Clark was on just a few segments in early NXT as Patrick Clark. Nikki Cross was kind of the happy-go-lucky Lucky Charms character. Alexa Bliss being the sparkly Miss Bliss, right? Didn't really know what their characters were. We're still kind of figuring things out. We saw that with Sasha early on as well. Charlotte. Johnny. And now, where is that situation going to be? WWE's always had a developmental territory, rather it be Deep South, rather it be OVW, rather it be FCW, until eventually it was NXT. And the one thing with all of these as well is they all had television. Now, they weren't the way they were for the network, but I remember I used to get stuff and tapes and stuff online to watch FCW, and same with OVW. Maybe there's a situation where it isn't Evolve. Maybe they go back to it being FCW. I don't know. But I think the one thing is they definitely still need a developmental territory, and they need to defer what NXT is. Is NXT the third brand?
It is.
Or is NXT... Okay, then we need a developmental territory. And is that Evolve? Is that bringing FCW? Or is that something else? Because characters still need that to learn and to grow.
Yeah, I think it's Evolve. My guess would be Evolve. In all likelihood, that makes the most sense. It's gonna be interesting to see, because you're gonna have the pressure's on everyone in NXT now. It's a pressure cooker now, and when you work, ultimately your boss is crazy, to put it mildly. I'm not talking about Hunter. The guy that signs all the checks, that runs everything, it's crazy. You're going to see a lot more kind of sink or swim in NXT. It's no longer that chance to test things out and have guys like Adrian Neville and Bo Dallas and Big E.
Who's that guitar guy? You know what I'm talking about.
Elias?
No. The guy that comes on, like, kind of air guitars and reds and everything.
Oh, yes. I don't remember his name. He's kind of disappeared a little bit.
Yeah, but I wonder what happens with a guy like that.
Yeah, because you can't screw around on TV anymore. You got 2 hours to deliver the best product possible, and you're going to have to take risks, but you can't let guys go screw around there and test things out. You got to go out there and get a reaction.
That's what Elias was for a while too, right? I hated Elias so much in NXT, and I'm just remembering that now. I don't have one way or another thought of an Elias on the main roster, because that's why he had all that time in NXT to kind of mess around with what works and what doesn't work. So when Elias came to the main roster, he just kind of worked in the main roster. In a way, same with Corbin, right? I mean, we can all have the X-Pac heat and all that on Baron Corbin, and it didn't really work for him as much in NXT, but yes, it did, because he was fine. He was this ex-football player that found his way in the developmental territory.
Yeah.
And say what you want to say about Corbin, but he's good at getting his heat. He's good at knowing his cues and the promos and everything like that. And he's learned stuff along the way being on the main roster. But a lot of it has been with his time in NXT. So that's what I'm curious. I mean, you look at someone like Deonna Purrazzi, Chelsea Green, they're going to be coming up and getting more shots now. The women's division, I think, is the biggest winner of this. And guys like Keith Lee and Kushida, all those people that have been able to get in takeovers, they're the biggest winners of this. Because they're going to get more time now to show what they have.
And see, that's where a lot of this is going to be. It's bittersweet because the NXT that we loved and watched over the last 5 or so years, it's changing, and it's bittersweet in the regards of it's great to see that next step, but now there's more eggs in the basket, and you can't drop any of them. If they weren't going head-to-head with AEW and this was just the natural progression for them, I'd be like, this is great. This is amazing news. This is going to be the one thing that I watch from WWE constantly. And it becomes more must-see now that it's live. Now it's your answer to a rival, and it's live. You can't. Lives are vastly different than taped. It's going to be great for the viewers because then we have to watch live, but it's also, I'm interested to see where this puts them.
Well, you mentioned live component. It's also just so weird that also you're doing the 18th, cool, but you would have maybe been better of just. Do you think it would have been better for them to go the first night that AEW is going, or that it's smart for them to build up, and then they have these weeks to build up to a big event on that night of AEW?
Oh, they're going to build up. They're more than likely going to have a takeover style show.
Which I still don't think matters. I still think it's the first show AEW's ever had. More people are going to care what AEW is going to do the first night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What the set's going to look like, and what's the theme going to look like, and how's the show feel. I don't think there's anything NXT can do that night that's going to make people care about them more than AEW that night.
Can I just say on air, this has been reported by Dave Meltzer, but anyone that thinks Tommaso Ciampa is going to make a surprise return and beat Adam Cole for the title is insane because he had neck surgery and he still got a long way to recover, and he won't be back until the spring, summer of next year, because the neck is something you don't mess around with unless you're Edge.
We'll get to that in a bit. If you want to see Marty Scurll, he has other shows that are getting booked as well, so Marty's not going to be on either show to start off with as well. CM Punk on AEW, that's a story for another day. What else with this NXT thing, Joel? What else are the things that we're looking at here?
I think it's really a wait and see. This has happened. I mean, the fact that they teased and it was reported that they said that they had a big announcement on Monday. Did they not? Did Hunter and didn't a few other people say that there was going to be a big time announcement on Monday?
I can't recall it, but I think I had heard people talking about it. So it is weird that they just, why not do this on Raw? Because Raw had its third biggest rating since April. I know the ratings were down, but it was up in the same sense of, since the ratings have gone down, the ratings have gone up since that kind of slouch. And it was like an opportunity to have this bigger crowd to show what is coming up. And the video package they put on YouTube is tremendous. It's a really good job. But where was that when, you know, you had this opportunity to say, this is NXT, this is what it is. Instead, you just did it on Twitter and did some YouTube videos.
Yeah, see, and that just shows me that they're not fully behind NXT. That this isn't getting... Because here's the thing. Someone had said to me recently that Roman's not the guy and Seth Rollins the guy. But who wrestled two who had two different things on Raw and SmackDown, Roman Reigns. Who looked like a million bucks on Monday night? It was Roman Reigns. Roman kicked the show off. SmackDown's built around Roman.
Seth rocked that hat backwards really well.
So this is a guy that is heavily promoted. Heavily promoted, on Eva product. And that's what you do with your top star, is you heavily promote them. You go, look, we have so-and-so. NXT should be like, we have NXT, it's going Wednesdays. You should check this out. They should have had a video package hyping it up. They should have been talking about how it's this been the hottest thing on the network, and now it has earned its stripes, it's going live, and you're going to be able to see guys like Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream and the Undisputed Era and Keith Lee, Kushida. You're going to get to see all these stars. Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, everyone from top to bottom is going to be the best thing you're ever going to see, and you should watch Wednesdays because we're going to be the best product Wednesday nights. I don't get that feeling from a Twitter and from all the media, we're talking about it, and everyone's excited about NXT being on Wednesday. I just didn't feel like it was... This should be a thing that should be annoying. It shouldn't be like, oh yeah, NXT's here. We're going to give you one segment out of the week. It should be, we're going live. This is massive. This is important, and you would be a fool to miss out of NXT.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like I said, the YouTube package that they showed is really, really good. It gets you hyped up. Have you seen the YouTube video they did?
No, I haven't seen the YouTube video. But again, that's a problem. I should be able to see it.
Yeah, well, it's great. It has, like, all the roster, like, yelling NXT, NXT, Johnny in the front, and Adam Cole, and the Undisputed role there. It's like, this is phenomenal. But why was this not on Raw?
Absolutely.
So that's really, really bizarre they didn't do that for that. And look, it got launched now, and it is what it is, but it should have been launched on Raw. And, like, was there even anything – I didn't see SmackDown. So was there anything about it on SmackDown?
Oh, yeah, that's when they talked about it.
Okay. But it should have been on Raw. So that's a little bizarre. I mean, and look, it's weird, too, because WWE's going to have about 3 weeks now in September where they're going to have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. You're going to have a small gap where they have all three shows, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it's like it fills that gap where SmackDown's going, but it's, I don't know, maybe it's just the pessimistic WWE that abusive relationship that has been being a WWE fan. You expect them to not deliver what you thought they were going to deliver, and not get behind things. And, like, the end of SmackDown was weak. I didn't like the end of SmackDown at all this week. I thought that was a misfire. I mean, historically, Paul Heyman likes having rivals be tag team champions. So having Strowman and Seth as tag team champions is one thing. Still not big on it because I kind of wanted to keep the good... I really like seeing the OC with all the titles. It was quite enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But now you're...
California!
It's just one of those things where you
I'll never not do that.
It's one of those things where you just kind of... Like, they've had some good stuff from both, and WWE's shown some good signs, but it's a reminder that this company has put out some really rough products. And that's just my fear now with NXT. NXT's always been that one thing, one consistent wrestling show for you that you could watch. And I just don't know what it's going to be like now that it's floating among the Raws and SmackDowns. When it wasn't near them, no one really cared. And it did fine. And now all the higher-ups that maybe shouldn't be calling all the shots are going to give a damn about NXT and have their opinions on how to run a wrestling show.
Well, it'll It'll be interesting, too. I wonder if, you know, how, what they do with some roster members. I look at someone like Aleister Black. He obviously isn't getting used on SmackDown. Do they just put him back in NXT, for example? Finn is taking a sabbatical. Does Finn get to go to NXT if he wants to?
I wonder, because there's probably a few guys that will probably get moved there.
Breezy did that at the right moment, didn't he?
Yeah, things worked out for Breeze and Dango.
Yeah. They didn't have to spend much time down in developmental. And like I said, I think this is really good for the women's division. I almost wonder if they will slowly kind of move the women's tag titles over to SmackDown. I think that would be a smart choice just because they're starting to kind of use them again now. I think they're holding off the Kabuki Warriors just with Paige recovering from surgery. But you saw them against Sonya and Mandy on Raw. And I wonder if they'll kind of slowly move those titles maybe to NXT. This is another set of titles, and there's more time to work with them on NXT as well. And look, so, you know, we've talked about some of the negatives, but let's talk about the positives. Again, Kushida, Keith Lee, Chelsea Green, Diana Piozza, Marty's girlfriend, I can never pronounce her name correctly, Vanessa Bourne, Mia Yim, the character that Punishment Martina is, Donovan Dijak, MCH's new character, Trevor Lee's new character. All these are guys that haven't got a lot of television time and are now going to have way more television. Phoebe and Eichner are going to have way more television time to really show what they can do, which is tremendously awesome.
But it now begs that question is, how are they going to be used? Are they going to be used like they typically use NXT talent? Or is this going to become are they going to be like, oh, they didn't work the first few weeks, so we're done with them, and then they're just going to flounder around?
We don't know. I think we have to trust that. Let's kind of put the USA thing aside for a bit and just trust that they're going to trust the vision that Hunter and Regal and everyone else has had there and let them just do what they want to do in their sandbox and let them kind of run free range. And maybe they do take a guy off, and, you know, they've not been ashamed to do that at takeovers. Right, they've had takeovers where they don't have Matt Riddle or they don't have the Dream on them, and they figure out creative ways to do it. So maybe they'll do that. I don't want to get all doom and gloom about it and be like, well, WWE now has this on USA, and now this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, because, you know, Raw and SmackDown have been a little bit up as lately. And also, can we not put a little faith that Hunter got it this far, that Hunter can also keep it like that going on USA? Let's put a little bit of faith that it's going to happen.
This is a whole different ballgame, though. NXT is now entering into what AEW is entering into, where we don't know what's going to happen. This is a whole new ballgame. So this is going to take 6 months to see where it lands. Same with AEW. There should be NXT is going to crush them, and it shouldn't be all doom and gloom. But you got to look at both as it's now a wait and see where everything lands. This is I'm more cynical on this, and I think I'm justified in that because of the history. And ultimately, I don't feel like this company is. Like, anything that the company's proud of or wants their fans to be proud of, they won't shut up about. I just don't feel that with NXT.
Well, I think we can admit, though, the product has been up for the last month or so now.
But
like, it's definitely been an upward bend.
Ups and downs with this company, but mostly downs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, but I'm saying it's been a pretty decent up lately. We had, there was the doldrums there. From what would you say the major doldrums were from like last October till pretty much June of when this company was really down and really sucked?
Yeah.
Till around Extreme Rules when it started to kind of find its way again?
Yeah, it's slowly but surely. Yeah, I would say those are the correct time frame.
And NXT just kind of trucks along all the time. I mean, I'll be someone that admits I don't traditionally really watch NXT weekly as much as I should. With it going to 2 hours, we'll see. I'm much more casual, but I, you know, check the YouTube clips and everything like that. And, you know, NXT is going to play, you know, factor into this as well. Will people just watch the YouTube clips? I mean, I'm interested to see what AEW does. is AEW going to be a factor of how much YouTube stuff are they going to show after a match, right? And also, like, the other reason I think this is so positive, though, is this whole WWE roster is so bloated, and so now that we do have a third brand, it does give the talent another, with the other hour now, it's just a little bit more for talent to showcase what they can do, because there's just so much talent. There's far too much talent. So in NXT, I felt like there was far more talent. Like I said, guys like Keith Lee and Kushida and Donovan Dijak, just for a few guys, were just not making takeovers because there was too much on the roster. And there's one woman that would face Shayna Baszler every 4 months. So now multiple women like Vanessa Bourne, Chelsea Green, and others have a chance to showcase off their talents now.
But my question to you now is, you talk that there's another 2 hours of the product, but that's just it. There's another 2 hours of wrestling that's going out this week, during the week. So you've got 2 hours from AEW. Now you have 4 hours with NXT. You have the 7 hours with Monday Night Raw. Then you have 9 hours with SmackDown. It's gonna be very interesting to see who comes out on top over the grand scheme of, from the rating standpoint. What are people drawn to, and what does it matter? And you mentioned that the wrestlers have a chance, but that also means that, does this mean that talent from Raw and SmackDown that aren't getting a shine are going to go to NXT? So they go to NXT and they take a main spot. What does it mean to the?
I'm wondering if
what does it mean for the other talent that's on the bottom half for NXT that is trying to fight for that spot? That when NXT was just in Full Sail and tape, had a chance to do stuff, and then if things work, then they would build off of it. What happens to those that are now even more fighting for a spot if you're going to move guys from Raw and SmackDown to NXT?
I mean, that's a real question. Do some of those guys just go on a PC? Do they go to a possible new developmental territory? That's what I'm not sure about, because I'm sure there will be some guys from Raw or SmackDown that are going to get moved to NXT. I think there'll be guys that are kind of in that hovering spot, right? Like, I look at Apollo Crews, for an example. I think he's a prime candidate to move back to NXT now. And then there'll be guys that are disgruntled and unhappy that, you know, could leave for an AEW. So maybe they're like, well, it's in the revival there. Or when Finn gets back, we'll send him to NXT. So that'll be interesting as well. Maybe they look at someone like Finn and be like, you know what, we'll put him on NXT because he can be the main star there. Even though, like, right now they have people that we think could be stars, like Adam Cole and Matt Riddle and Velveteen. But maybe they said, like you said, they don't think that those guys are big enough. So 1 week, all of a sudden, Braun shows up, or Roman shows up, or Finn shows up, or an AJ shows up, because they think they have more of a star power than what the NXT roster has. It's all weird. I mean, NXT could just pop these 2 million ratings that SmackDown has, and USA could be really happy, and it's like, nothing to see here. Move along. Just keep on doing what you're doing. That could happen as well.
There is endless possibilities what could happen from September 18th all the way down to the September 18th of next year, or whatever date their anniversary, their 1 year anniversary would be on that Wednesday of that week. Anything's possible. This is a very interesting time as a wrestling fan, because there's a lot to choose from, because the reality is, if you're not liking what you're seeing on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT goes to hell in a handbasket, and AEW is struggling, there's still Japan. There's still other alternatives. Wrestling, this isn't, as I'm about to die, this isn't a point where you have to choose one or the other. You have literally a choice of like 10 or 12 different wrestling companies that offer a different style to you that you can watch and consume. So it's where it's the attention span, like, this will never be, I will stand by this until I'm proven wrong, I don't think this will ever be as massive as the Monday Night War was. I think there's too much content out there, both wrestling and non-wrestling, that can take away from your audience. But I think that there will be a competition, and there will be a battle back and forth on who stands tall from all of this.
I think I don't know how much it can be, right? Like, number one, the YouTube factor and all of this, the torrent factor and all of this that just wasn't there when it was around, right? So the illegal downloading, watching it on YouTube, free streams online that people are going to be watching. I mean, there could be very well be something like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to watch AEW, but I'm going to watch a stream of NXT while this is going on if I want to, right? So I don't know how much – there definitely will be a channel surfing element to it from some people. I'm not denying that. But, you know, it was a lot harder when the Monday Night War was on to VCR something as opposed to TiVo something or PVR something, right? Where now, like, let's say up here in Canada, we don't have this right now, but say, oh, you know what? I am going to watch AEW right now. Cool. Boom. The first match is this. You know what? I don't really feel about that match. I'll go to my PVR. Or you're like, I'm just going to watch this all. I'm not going to go on my phone and read any spoilers and just go right to NXT right after and really not think any of the wiser. That's kind of, we're in such an age now of now. And that is why there is a quote-unquote war as far as the ratings go. We're going to compare the ratings week to week. We're going to do that on this podcast. Everyone's going to do it. But there's so much more versatility to the ways to watch either show.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot there's a lot of options. You're not without the options and how you're going to consume this.
Well, and here's the other thing too. So for as of now, they're going to be going to Full Sail. Okay, cool. I think we both agree that's a good decision. But ultimately, they're not going to be there. I think they're out of Full Sail by, I'd say, after War Games into early January. They'll start touring to other buildings.
Yeah.
Because Full Sail is not easy to book. And it's expensive. And then that's when I think we'll really see what is up with NXT, them having to go to these different towns and see how that acts. I mean, the AEW, right? They're selling all these towns right now, but eventually they're not going to sell out of town. It's just not going to last forever. It's still the excitement of AEW.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But, and for NXT, there'll maybe be excitement when they go on the road, but it start will, you know, blister down because, you know, even for some people, they don't subscribe to the network, but TakeOver comes around with another WWE pay-per-view. It's like, this is when I'm going to get the network because I want to watch just the TakeOver, the pay-per-view, and then I'm done again. Apparently, not many people believe the numbers are going to go really heavy down for the network, and now the fact that it isn't demand the next day, I definitely think that's not the case, especially if there is TakeOver. So as far as it is as a network thing, I think they're fine with TakeOver going on the next day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now that is the perfect compromise. I'm a little surprised at how quickly it goes on to the network, but I think they more or less told USA that this is very important to keep the network numbers.
Right. So and as for, I think for them, they should just more worry about, we took this development tutorial, we got it on Wednesday, let's make the best product that we can, instead of really worrying about going head-to-head with AEW, because it's a losing battle on either side. I think AEW can't pay attention to. And why I don't think it's as much of a quote-unquote war is, you know, Jericho's congratulating NXT. You know, the Bucks said we ain't scared, but like other people from NXT have been saying nice things about AEW. AEW has been saying nice things about NXT. Other than the higher ups, I don't think the wrestlers really care. It's a much more respectful wrestling era that we're in right now.
Yeah. I don't think it's nearly as cutthroat as what it could be.
No, I mean, you literally have a couple that are going to be going head-to-head to each other with Britt Baker and Adam Cole, the messy bun couple. So, yeah, I don't think... And, I mean, Cole's friends with those guys, right? And they're friends with him. And Chelsea Green knows a lot of those people from her time. She was really technically the first AEW show, right? So, yeah, it'll be very interesting where it all goes. I echo what you said. I'm very excited this is happening. I just wish it wasn't for the reason that it was.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit difficult, but at the same token, you know, just gotta ride the wave now. and just see what comes of all of this.
So also, there was supposed to be a taping on the 11th and 12th. Hopefully that's not happening now. Those fans received the refund, and most of them received tickets to the show on the 18th. So that's what's coming. It'll be interesting tomorrow what they do on NXT and what they say on NXT tomorrow.
That is absolutely going to make this very interesting. Well,
ticket prices go up in Full Sail too.
Did it?
Well, I'm not saying will they. Do you think they will?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Because now it's a live show and the costs go up and all that kind of stuff. So do we know it's like every week live, or they're going to do it like once in a while sporadically live?
I think it's just live.
All right. This will be very interesting to see where it goes. I mean, it's such a big story, but it's just kind of part of the bigger story that you said. Like, it's all kind of setting stuff up, and 2020 is really going to be interesting to see who does what.
Oh, yeah.
And who goes where. And we will find out in time. Anything else to add on this big story, Joel?
No, I think we've covered every aspect of this story that we can possibly talk about.
And then as for, you know, I don't want to get too much of the other set of the news on here, because the main thing we wanted to cover was NXT on it. You know, good start to the King of the Ring, two pretty good matches. To me, the highlight was Sasha Banks. I thought there was actually a lot of good promos. Actually, the real highlight, the Rey Mysterio promo was perfection.
His son, not so much.
That was so well done. No, Dominic, not as much. I mean, it's not even his dad. I don't know why he's lying like that.
Yeah, and Eddie would be ashamed. He didn't really show any Latino heat.
Do you think that they're going to have Vicky come on TV? Or do you think the idea is that he's going to take Rey's mask and be like, you're not even my real dad?
No, I'd have my doubts. But I think
Rey's... You know what I would do? I would take the mask off him, and then next week on Raw, metal chair in the middle of the ring, holding the mask, spotlight on him. Now, do you understand that reference?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do.
Yeah. Because that was the promo that Eddie cut.
I would... If this is it for Rey, and we've seen Dominic's face, so Dominic will not be donning a mask.
You never know. I'm not ruling it out.
I just can't. I don't know. If you were gonna debut him, then I think it just seems like you don't. There's no build up to getting a mask, though. That could be interesting to see. I just think Rey will tag with his son once. And then Rey can ride off into the sunset, and then Dominic, we'll see what Dominic's like in ring.
Is he in NXT? Or in the PC, do we know? Or is he trained with Lance, right?
He trained with Lance, and then that's kind of it. So I don't know where he's gone next.
So he's just kind of this ancillary character then.
Yeah.
Kind of like Renee Michelle. Like, she's not even she's just an indie wrestler right now. She's not signed to WWE at all.
No. Which, tip your hat to Drake Maverick, that she got a spot on TV.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What else happened this week? Well, Natty had the terrible line that we don't need to go over. But, I mean, Sasha did. But other than that, it was a good week for Sasha. Good promo and everything. But another really tasteless line by the writing staff.
It's common in WWE. Anytime a wrestler has someone in the family die that's famous, or a wrestler dies, it's used to ignite the flames and bring on the heat and bring on the feud. Ugh.
Good. I mean, good as Sasha, she has two promos, two programs. But yeah, two programs. She has going forward now. She has the Becky one that's obvious, and she has the Natty one when Natty gets her soldier back up and going. So that's really cool that they set up Sasha in a positive way since she came back. It seems like we're getting Bayley and Charlotte, so I guess we're going to have the four horsewomen face each other for championships at Clash of Champions, which is cool.
but it's not really freshening up the women's division at all.
No, that's the quickest way to stall a division is keep the same one, two, three people in that main event scene. You got to freshen things up. And they just haven't, it was intriguing seeing both Natty and Ember Moon in one of your big four pay-per-views challenging both for respective titles, and now you're going back to status quo.
Does Naomi even wrestle for the company anymore?
Naomi apparently had a death in the family, so that is
what's... Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's what's kept her away.
It's very interesting the Usos have been on TV now for a second.
Yeah, well, they couldn't travel up to Canada because of the DUIs, and now it doesn't hurt to give them a break. Maybe that's working on a few things.
Like we said, Dean Ambrose kind of said it too. There's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of a break off of TV. It freshens up your character, and why not? We didn't have Strowman on TV for a while, and it was kind of good that we didn't get Strowman, right?
Yeah,
it helps. But there's other characters like Robert Roode. I guess that's another contender to go back to NXT, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he may just be done, but we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting if Hunter takes some of his guys and just gets them to come back to NXT.
Yeah, I wonder... Here's a question that I got to ask you, and it goes back to the NXT stuff. So, NXT, the developmental deals are the developmental deals. Do all these guys that are
you too.
Are all these guys that are going to now going to be technically the third brand and going on TV? Are all these guys and gals going to get pay raises and be bumped up to main roster?
Well, that's interesting thing, right? Because that's very interesting, and also the factor of. When you go to NXT, I think it's a 3-year deal, and then when you go to the main roster, you have to sign a 5 or something, I believe, something along that lines. So they have to re-sign new deals, which has always been the rumor, right? So that'll be very interesting. So let's say, an Adam Cole, maybe he had, a deal, a year left in his deal. Does he have to sign a new contract now that he's on USA? That's also very, very interesting.
There's, again, a lot of interesting things that are going to be going on behind the scenes that it'll be worth paying attention to.
They absolutely will.
Ziggler and Roman had a good match this week.
That spear was fantastic.
I think that it just shows that wrestling can make your product good. You just have to trust and let it happen, because if you do, it'll be just fine. But it's when you decide that you need to muddle into it and make it too sports entertainment-y, that's when things suffer. I think that's why Roman has turned around. I really do. Is you've let Roman have Roman had the match at Extreme Rules, which was good. He had the match. He didn't have a match on SummerSlam. Then his match with Buddy was great, and his match with Ziggler was great. This guy has been able to spit out some really good matches in recent memory, and I think that's why the crowd's getting more and more behind him. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, everyone that buys tickets for a wrestling show is paying to see professional wrestling. That's what you gotta give people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen that with, like you said, with guys like Buddy and performance fighters like Roman. It's what gets them over. It's just doing stuff in the ring. And I think truest while you watch NXT for some of these new people and these new fans is, yes, I think a character like Velveteen is going to capture the imagination of a lot of people. It's going to be what happens in the ring for someone like an Adam Cole or someone like a Keith Lee and their athletic ability that's going to really be the draw for some people. I think when a mainstay roster gets an opportunity to see what Keith Lee can do, you're going to be mildly surprised. And I'm just excited to see Kushida maybe hopefully get to see him more. So, you know, it's overall exciting news. It's up there for the story of the year. And in about a month or so now, we'll get ready for the Battle of Wednesday.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because... I know there's been some both positive and negative buzz towards AEW as a company. There's both positive and negative buzz heading into NXT, so I don't think either company heading into that Wednesday night has a stranglehold already on that. I think that night's very much up for grabs. And I think ultimately most people are going to figure out you can watch and support both. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. Anything else you want to add, Joel?
Buddy Murphy is amazing, and Daniel Bryan is amazing. And when you put a orange goatee on someone, that doesn't make them Rowan.
Yeah, we didn't find the culprit, so that story continues to go on. Two steps forward, one step back.
That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Apparently. Well, there you go. It was a busy announcement with this today. Like I said, the XFL, this will keep busy. The XFL is announcing its logos and its team names tomorrow, so see what they do with that. Will we get back the return of the New York Rage? We'll find, or the New York Hitmen, I think they were. It was the Orlando Rage, and then it was New York Hitmen, and the Memphis Mannix. Some terrible names. So we'll see. There's still a lot of more questions to really ask of NXT. And as everything happens, we'll keep you updates. You know, this may be a week where two things happen if more stories come out about NXT, as far as pod-wise goes. And then if not, next week, we go all out to preview AEW's last big pay-per-view before the start of the Wednesday Night Wars.
Yep. It's quickly approaching, and it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
It absolutely is. Everyone enjoy. Hope everyone really did enjoy this. It's it's something that Joel and I had kind of been texting back about all week, from FS1 to this weekend, all the way to USA, and it really. I will say before we get out of here, I did like a mini set of research when we were. This story had kind of broken on Monday about the possibility that it going to USA, and just looking at the viewership, and FS1 I think had a household average of 72, and now you look at USA has about 90-ish, and AEW is not too far behind with about 89-ish, so almost the same amount of households, and it'll be interesting at the end of the year who is going to have the better ratings. It's going to be early on. AEW selling out shows right now. I think NXT has a lot of it. It's the one thing that's very interesting about this rivalry, Joel, if there is one. But both these companies are very much have the same fan base overlapping them.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you watch, and we've been to takeovers, the amount of Bullet Club shirts you see in that crowd, and the Elite shirts and Young Buck shirts and Cody and Kenny shirts, you see it's like, oh, there is a big overlap between NXT and AEW, so this is going to be really interesting. Which
it really is.
Who pulls ahead?
That'll be the question. For WWE, it's a pretty good time for them. One of my favorite takeovers is coming with War Games. Survivor Series won't be so good, but after that, going to holidays. That's why I can't really say anything's going to really matter early on. AEW has kind of 2 months for ratings are going to be interesting. And then we get into the holiday season, which I believe Christmas is on a Wednesday this year. Maybe.
AEW will probably, in all likelihood, run a taped show, which will be just a highlight package.
Mm.
It'll probably be a 2-hour version of BTE, to be honest.
I'm just going to double check before we get out of here. It's either I believe Christmas is either on that day. Or it's on. So, yep, Christmas Day is indeed on Wednesday this year. Wouldn't you know that?
NXT will more than likely have a live show.
And New Year's Day as well. So I wonder what they'll do for. Because I remember that because SmackDown was on New Year's last year and on Christmas last year.
I'm curious to see. I think Christmas Day, in all likelihood, will be like a taped highlight package of stuff. And then New Year's Day is a little less important. I could see them running a show.
So what do you think NXT does, though? I think NXT is going to go live.
Oh, yeah, both those days. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Different philosophies.
I wonder, Full Sail will be very interesting if they do it in Full Sail. I wonder what they'll do for it, because, they ran Christmas for Raw. Last year they taped it, but I wonder if they'll look at it as an advantage, we can beat them.
And look, I think you should do the tape show, because that day you do have real competition, because you're going to be going against the NBA games on that day, which is for some families, especially in, you know, the States, is a family tradition that you watch those NBA games, or you just turn off the television completely and hang out with your family and loved ones. There's that option as well. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting, that the coincidence that they're going to both be kind of launching on Christmas. If not, you mean, for a wrestling fan, could be a really nice Christmas night.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton of talking points by the end of this year and heading into next year with how everything is handled from those dates to when pay-per-views happens. Do they go head-to-head? What happens with takeovers? Do they just blend in with the regular pay-per-views? Where is everything headed? And it's going to be a fun ride.
It absolutely is. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. We can't wait to continue to keep you updated. And until next time, cheers.
War's a brewing.
Enjoy the day, people.
And good night. Bang!